athletic competition. It can easily be broken down into two parts: the minutes or hours it takes to complete the event, then weeks, months, and years of joy or heartbreak. Finally, the decades to analyze and debate it. From the press box to press row, Donald Ware will break it all down for you with an in-depth look at historically black college athletics, as well as the biggest news stories and newsmakers of the day. It's time to talk the talk with those who walk the walk. From the press box to press row, here's your host, Donald Ware.
March Madness is fully underway, and we're going to talk plenty of NCAA tournament basketball today here on Box to Row. After the first round, my sheet is already shot. As a matter of fact, as of Thursday, I was 7-8. You're trying to pick some upsets, and it just looks like I picked the wrong upsets. And I want to ask this question specifically to Kentucky fans. I know Kentucky fans must be frustrated as all get out. Now, we're all about smaller programs here on Box Row. That's what we've done here for 19 years, is talk about HBCUs, which are all smaller programs. And look, I'm all for the little man, right? Oakland beating Kentucky, generally, I would have been like, oh, that's a great thing. And it is a great thing. I'm not saying it's not. But for all of the years, and listen, John Calipari's done a tremendous job in terms of when you think about college basketball and the stops he's been in. Kentucky won a national championship, right? But look, Kentucky's won national championships in the past, and you would have thought by this time that Kentucky would have won more than one national championship. I mean, when I think about John Calipari, and look, Coach Cal has been a guest on this program, but one championship in all of that time, going to another national championship, undefeated and losing in that game. I know Wildcats fans have to be ultra frustrated. I'd love to hear from Wildcats fans, specifically our fans that listen to us in Lexington on WLUX. Look, let me set the table because we've got a big show for you today here on the program. As a matter of fact, Grambling has had a really good season, won its opening round or its play-in game, if you want to call it that, against Montana State. Had a chance to catch up with Dante Jackson, the head men's coach of Grambling, and going to replay part of that interview here in a couple of moments. Also joining us today here on the program, Howard head men's basketball coach Kenny Blakeney. The Bison fell to Wagner in the play-in, so it's the season's over, but a good season for the Bison. And on the ladies' side, Jackson State head women's basketball coach Tamika Reed also going to join us today here on the program. To participate, hit me up via Twitter at BoxToRow or on my personal account at DWare1. Well, again, had a chance to catch up Grambling head men's basketball coach Dante Jackson earlier in the week. Last year around this time, he was at the HBCU All-Star Game coaching a team, but I asked him, was the tournament all that he thought it would be?
It's everything and more. I've been to the Division II tournament at Stillman, and now to be at the Division I, tournament, it is a total different situation. I mean, man, I did more interviews than a little bit today, but I got to make sure I got to find time for you. Got to find time for the person that was interviewing me when nobody else was interviewing me.
we really appreciate that. So this game, look, the game reminded me a lot of the Texas Southern game, the championship game last year where you got down, you came back, came up a little bit short last year, but this time you were able to pull it out. Your thoughts on the overtime victory in the tournament?
We've been down many a times this year, and one thing about this group, man, we got a lot of fight. This group, they don't give up, and I always tell them, find a way to win. And that's just been the definition of this group. You know, we go by the slogan Road Warriors. Like we've been on the road almost 2/3 of the year. So at the end of the day, let's just keep the slogan going and find a way to win. And these guys, I mean, they just embody it right now.
And speak a little bit more to that. Obviously you look at Kentavious Dozier, your first team all conference guy. He was a second team HBCU All American. And maybe, you know, other guys really stepped up maybe when he didn't have it going as much in the game against Montana State.
And that was the thing, like, that's been our team. That's been our calling card. You know, share the sugar. Be happy for your teammate when it ain't your day. And, you know, the one thing I looked at with Kentavious, he was up cheering harder than anybody else because he was just so happy to see Jamel Cofer having a great night because it's about winning. And, you know, we've just embraced just – trying to find ways to win. It doesn't matter if it's you or your teammate. Let's leave this place with a W. And that's the one thing I love about this group.
You pushed all the right buttons. That 11-0 run was absolutely huge. You pushed all the right buttons, including not playing Dozier in the latter part of the second half. What went into that decision? Was that a difficult decision?
It was difficult because, you know, honestly, we had two sophomores on the court, Michael Stevenson and Jamel Cofer, that spurred that run on. And, you know, I'm looking at the coaches and I'm thinking to myself, man, do we go with Dozier? Do we go with Tremichael Moten? Because Tremichael Moten wasn't having his best game either. But, you know, I decided to go back with Moten only because just he's been the closer for us for 5 years now. So, hopefully, you know, Michael Stevenson is going to grow into that role as we keep moving on. He had a phenomenal game, but we went ahead and just said, forget it. We're going to let Tremichael close. But in Cofer's situation and Kentavious' situation, man, Cofer had it. He was red hot. And I'm just a firm believer. You ride the hot hand. You know, you don't take the ball out the hot hand. And he just was in there making buckets and making plays. And I was just so happy with his defensive level. So it was just like we had to stay with him.
No doubt. Now, I see you, those that can't see us, I see you kind of pushing. You're probably getting more texts and more calls than a little bit.
Yes. I mean, more texts, more calls. If it ain't this, then it's that, man. Listen, I got almost 400 text messages I still got to go through. So if I ain't got back to you, just give me a minute. I'm going to get back.
Dante Jackson giving us a couple of moments here. The head men's basketball coach at Grambling joining us here on the program. Jamel Cofer, let's talk about him. I mean, unbelievable hit shot after. This is a kid that averaged less than 10 minutes a game for you during the regular season. Game high 19 points, 7-9 shooting, big shots. In the big moments, just kept hitting shot after shot.
Cofer's a player. He's born and raised to be a player by his dad. And, you know, the tough part of it is that we got some good seniors that been experienced and been in moments that he hasn't been as a sophomore. But we expect him to grow into a huge role as we keep moving forward. But the reality of the situation is that sometimes you got to crawl before you walk. You know what I mean? You got to walk before you run. And you got to run before you sprint. That's just how life goes, you know. And for him, it's just a coming out party because it's not about not being a player. It's just that you can play. But sometimes it's just for the good of the team. This is what's going well right now. So we getting in a situation where we don't want, I want to say almost 18 out of 22 games. I mean, if it's working, we don't want to stop what's working, you know, just for one thing. And like for him, you know, he just got the mindset. I'm going to stay ready, coach. I'm going to stay ready. And I'm like, man, Cofer, I need you. He was like, I got you, coach. Like, all right, let's go, man. And really for him, it was really about having a bigger guard out there for defensive purposes. But then when we kept seeing that number 20, the forward kid was going to guard him, I said, man, he got 3 fouls. He ain't trying to guard. Cofer can score. Let's get Cofer the ball and let him go to work. And, man, did he ever come up big for us. Just an amazing game by him, proud of him, and just proud of him having the, you know, just having that – you know, I don't know I can't think of the right word, but just having that, just being ready for the moment. Because sometimes you sit on the bench, and you start soaking, you start pouting. But he never did that. all throughout this, even in the SWAC tournament, he come in and make free throws and get big buckets. It's just that, man, you know, I'm just so proud of him. Just so proud of Jamel.
That under eight, I think it was the under eight timeout. I believe it was, or maybe under 12. What did you say to your guys? That's when you kind of started to kind of go on that run, turned up the defensive intensity, and started hitting buckets.
I told him, I said, it's now, we got it to six. I said, it's go time. Come on, y'all, it's time to go. I said, if we score two more buckets, I promise y'all, we got a chance to make them break. And we just kept turning up the intensity, and we end up getting that press. We threw a press out there, end up getting a steal and two turnovers back to back. And it just put us in a good situation to win that game.
Jordan Smith, Antoine Burnett, very key for you, steady throughout the entire game.
It's 18 points each. I mean, those guys are big, you know, to have those two big guards, you know, a 6'5 guard, a 6'7 guard that both can shoot it, dribble pass, it makes us very versatile. So I was so, you know, I'm just happy that those guys showed up and played really well because, you know, we pretty much got an all-conference backcourt between Dozier and Moten, and it wasn't their best nights. But our wing guards really made the difference. And then you bring Kofor off the bench and make a difference. It was just big for us.
Couple of more thoughts with Dante Jackson, the head men's basketball coach at Grambling. We really appreciate the time. The dunk by Jordan Smith, right, in the overtime, right? Like, when that happened.
Backbreaker.
Right.
Backbreaker.
Yeah. What your thoughts?
It was a backbreaker. That was a backbreaker moment, I felt like. I felt like that's when the tide had totally changed. And it was just, you know, we start that game, and I felt like it was a pro-Montana State crowd. So when Jordan made that dunk, it was a Grambling State crowd. So you could just see how the swing of the tide of being on a neutral floor just kind of swung the crowd. And it was just incredible for him. Now he just goes up over two or three people and just catches it out of air and just slams it down. And you know, and the best part about it was no celebrating, just sprint back and defend. And I was like, yeah, that's what I'm talking about. The little things about being successful.
A really good season for the Tigers and Dante Jackson. You can watch that conversation in its entirety on the Box to Row YouTube page. Still to come here on Box to Row, we're going to catch up with Jackson State head women's basketball coach Tamika Reed. Up next here on the program, Howard head men's basketball coach Kenny Blakeney, wall-to-wall NCAA tournament talk, March Madness. Don't move.
More of Box to Row with Donald Ware is on the way.
On last week's From the Press Box to Press Row with Donald Ware.
That is the voice of Damian Priest, Senor Money in the Bank. Any plans for that upcoming?
I can't tell you.
Why not?
Of course, there's a plan, and everybody knows the plan. It's just a matter of when. I have till July. I'm not necessarily in a rush. I'm still going to wait for the right time, right moment, and right champion. A lot of people, like you said, you know, I almost forgot about that. Yeah, and you're going to be reminded big time when I do cash in and successfully. So it'll remind everyone in the moment and shut a lot of people up.
From the Press Box to Press Row is one of the hottest sports talk shows in the country. Join Donald each week as he takes you on a journey through the world of HBCU sports and pro sports, and interviews with top sports and entertainment figures. That's From the Press Box to Press Row each week on your favorite station.
If you have diabetes, listen up. If you have insurance, you can qualify for a continuous glucose monitor. With a CGM, you can continuously track your levels and trends and spend more time in range, significantly lowering your A1C. More importantly, a CGM eliminates the one thing most people with diabetes hate, painful finger sticks. Order your new continuous glucose monitor today. If you use insulin and if you've seen your diabetes care provider within the last 6 months, you you may qualify for your own CGM right now. We'll do all the insurance paperwork and deliver your new CGM at little or no out-of-pocket cost to you. Medicare and most insurances will cover your CGM, so don't wait. Have your insurance handy and call the Aptiva Medical CGM Health Hotline right now.
800-946-6813. 800-946-6813. 800-946-6813. That's 800-946-6813.
From the press box to Press Row and BoxToRow.com, your HBCU sports leader.
Was back then, and the reason I reminisce called
Bill Springer again. Everybody knows Springer again.
Let's continue here on the program. We're joined by a gentleman, as a matter of fact, in his fifth season as the head men's basketball coach at Howard, the Bison, back-to-back MEAC tournament champions, and came up just a bit short in the NCAA tournament to Wagner. Fought hard, but the Bison program in good hands, on the right track. Kenny Blakeney, again in his fifth season as the head men's basketball coach of the Bison, joins us here on Box to Row. Coach Blakeney, welcome back to the program. Congratulations on a really good season.
Thank you, my brother. I appreciate it. And it's so good to be back on the show.
Absolutely. Let's start with the Wagner game taking place, you know, a tough loss on Tuesday. The Bison fought in this game, got down, pulled it to within three, had a couple of opportunities at three-pointers to tie the game at the end, just didn't quite go in for you. Your thoughts on that Wagner game?
Well, firstly, I mean, I'd like to commend Wagner and Coach Copeland. I think they really came out and played. They were ready. They were prepared and did a nice job. I think that they earned and they deserved a game, quite honestly. But in saying that, I'm really proud of our guys and the effort that they put into the Wagner game and the effort that they gave all year. We had just had a whirlwind of three games down in Norfolk that we played Thursday, Friday, Saturday. We got back to D.C. after watching our women's game in the championship game down in Norfolk at about 11 o'clock. And then that Sunday was a quick turnaround. We had the selection show, found out probably around 6:45, 7 o'clock who we were going to play. And it was time to get prepared for Wagner. So that next morning at 8:30, we're on a bus headed to the airport to go fly to Dayton to try to get ready and play Wagner. So extremely quick turnaround. You know, we had a lot to try to get done in a small period of time. And, you know, I thought our guys came out with they were ready to play. They had great energy and fought. But I just think Wagner was just too much on that day and the better team on that day for us to get the victory.
Take us through the last, it's 14 seconds, just the sequence. And you guys had some really good looks at the basket.
Well, we had two plays in mind that we wanted to run. Their young man was at the free throw line, and if we were down two, we were going to run one play versus if we were down three, trying to run something to get us a three-pointer. And we came down three. We ran a play that we were able, I think, to execute to get great looks. And two of our three looks, I think, were big-time looks. And I would, you know, if I was a betting guy, I would put money on those shots any day of the week. But unfortunately, we came up on the short end of the stick by missing those shots. But I love the confidence that our guys had to take those shots. And was thinking of the last one. You know, last year we beat Norfolk State down in the conference tournament with Marcus Dockery making that same shot from the same place pretty much a year apart. So, you know, like I said, super proud of our guys, the energy that they put into that game, the effort, the way that they played in the last, you know, 8 minutes to really give us a chance to have those shots to count to win the game was something that I'm extremely proud of.
Coach Blakeney, when I look at the three teams you defeated in the MEAC tournament, you're looking at Morgan State, Norfolk State, Delaware State. To me, maybe the best three teams coming into the tournament. With the way that they were playing down the stretch, although you were playing some really good basketball as well. Speak to defeating those three teams, tough teams, including the regular season champ in Norfolk State.
Yeah, well, our first game was such a – when I was looking at the pairings, Morgan is such a dangerous team. you know, from having a guy like Will Thomas that sometimes he turns into Kevin Garnett and he becomes impossible to check. I mean, at our game at Morgan, he did everything besides wear a Batman cape or a Superman cape and just absolutely destroyed us. And, you know, they have the transfer from Boston College that is explosive as a scorer, and they have two guards that are just as good as any guards in our league that are tough to guard. They're explosive in terms of their speed and quickness, and they put pressure on the rim and the paint and can also shoot it and knock down the deep ball as well. So I was really nervous about them. Kevin Brodus does a terrific job. They run that Princeton offense that if you're not disciplined and you're not alert, can really put you on your heels with all the back doors and the cutting stuff that they do. So we were well prepared for them and played great, and were able to advance against, you know, Norfolk State and a terrific coach, Robert Jones, team. Norfolk State had won both games against us this year, home and away, and had just met them a week before. So it was a great opportunity for us to come in and try to play our best game against them and try to defeat them. And it was nick and tuck. They had a little bit of a cushion at halftime, a 4 or 6 point lead at halftime, and we came out in the second half and just really fought and competed. And to our credit, you know, we were playing the whole tournament with pretty much 6 to 7 guys. One of our guys, Elijah Williams, is a walk-on, brother of Jelani Williams, and he had to go in the game at the clutch when Seth Towns fouled out with about 7 minutes left, and he was terrific the rest of the game. Just so proud of how our guys, I guess, were connected. They played together, and, you know, defensively, we did things on that end to really, I think, secure the victory against the regular season champions here in the MEAC. Then fast forward to Dell State, great coach team by Coach Stan Waterman. And you're right, they were as hot as any team in the conference and did such a great job to advance all the way through to the conference final. And what a game. I mean, you know, we were up a little bit in the first half and they scratched and clawed and took a 6 point lead. And, you know, down the stretch, I think the last probably 11 minutes to go or 10 minutes to go, up until about 30 seconds ago, we were able to limit them to 5 points. So sometimes, you know, when we were looking at it and talking about it, our defense that, you know, was a little bit up and down during the year was the thing that I think gave us opportunities to win all three of those games down in Norfolk. So really proud of our guys and the effort, but the connectedness and the toughness that they showed, especially playing with only 5 or 6 players over, you know, those 3 days.
Kenny Blakeney in his 5th season as the head men's basketball coach at Howard, as he joins us here on Box to Row. You mentioned up and down. That was sort of how the season was. Like, it was some ebbs and flows. You had some winning streaks, some losing streaks, it almost had everything during this season. Was there sort of a turning point? Maybe that Morgan game, I think, February 7th, was there a turning point in the season that got you back on the trajectory in terms of where you ultimately ended up as MEAC tournament champs?
Well, we ended up probably with about 82 or 83 games missed with guys that are in our rotation. So the injuries, we had 15 concussions, unheard of, and we're not even a contact sport, really, to have 15 concussions in one season. We had 3 guys with concussions that just got off of concussion protocol going into the Wagner game that were, you know, 2 of those guys and all 3 of those guys at some point in time had started for us this year. So we never had the continuity that, you know, from practice or games to really, I think, stay consistent like we really wanted to be throughout the year. The turning point actually was the injuries, and it gave us an opportunity with a small roster to really gel, I think, and play well and have a little bit of some continuity for those last maybe 10 games or so down the stretch leading into the conference tournament.
When you look at this team, you got talent. Like, I know a lot of people talk about Seth Towns. I mean, Bryce Harris is absolutely unbelievable. He's listed as a guard, But he's really like a forward. Like, he plays so big. I believe 6'4", he's got good size, plays a lot down low, finishes well around the basket. He was your leading scorer this year. Speak to, you know, what he brings to this Bison team.
I said in the press conference out in Dayton that Bryce has been our most important recruit that we've had since I've been here at Howard University. And, you know, we have something called the energy generating behaviors. There's 18 of them. And basically, there's 18 things that you can bring to our team that doesn't require talent. And Bryce has a lot of talent, but he also embodies all 18 of those things. And it's, you know, things that we really feel help you win games. Like, can you run the court in 6 seconds? Can you offensive rebound? Can you defensive rebound? Can you contest shots? Can you deflect passes? All the little things that probably go unnoticed in a game outside of points and rebounds, Bryce really embodies and amplifies all of those EGBs. And like I said, there's no other kid in our program and our system that has done as much as he's done since he's been here. 3 years, three winning seasons. I thought he should have been the player of the year in the conference, but arguably Thomas had a great year as well down at Norfolk State, and their team won the regular season conference. But just such an important young man to Howard University. You know, he on the campus, he's in a fraternity. He's in the business school. He's sort of like the mayor of Howard University. I don't think that there's one thing on this campus that this young man hasn't excelled on in since he's been here. So I am a huge Bryce Harris fan, and someone I know is going to be uber successful when he's done playing basketball.
Does Seth Towns have any more eligibility?
Weirdly enough, we think he does have 1 year, but my advice to him is that he should go and play pro ball, try to get as much as he can out of his body that has not done, you know, he's a guy that at 26, his body's probably at 36. So he needs to get as much basketball in as he possibly can. I mean, the effort that it takes him to prepare for practice every day, to prepare for games, it is, you know, it really is admirable to see him do all the things that he does on a daily basis to get himself prepared to play. And then once he gets on the court, he never wants to come out. He loves basketball. He loves competing. And I couldn't be more proud of a young man and what he has really sacrificed and brought to our team and to our university.
This is such a really good conversation with Howard head coach Kenny Blakeney. A couple of more thoughts, Coach Blakeney. Hold on for me. On the other side, we're going to continue the conversation with Howard head men's basketball coach Kenny Blakeney after this small pause for the cause. You've got it locked to Box to Row.
You're listening to From the Press Box to Press Row.
That is the voice of Kevin Durant.
I'm excited I get to play for them. They support us in everything we do. You know, it's a joy to, you know, go to work and know that you're going to be, you know, they're going to cheer for you as loud as they can, no matter who you're playing.
Michael B. Jordan.
And I think it's a testament to, you know, what HBCUs mean to people, you know, and having that community and culture and shining a light on the universities, you know what I'm saying, in a real way, and creating a pipeline from these kids in high school and making them feel good about wanting to land at HBCU. We have high talent. And often it's gone and shipped out to other places. It's never poured back into the community. So if we can create an environment that's cool and a beacon of light and people want to feel like they want to be here. And so putting it on the national stage is really big. You know, most of the time these kids don't get televised games, you know what I'm saying? So be able to put them on Turner in a real way was really, really important. And then the brands and then the sponsors, you know what I'm saying? And getting, you know, the NBA, you know, scouts and looks to come in and hopefully like build this thing bigger.
The one and only Stephen A. Smith.
It's my sincere hope that when my ride ends, I'll get a big hug and a big thank you for what I tried to do for other people when I was at the top. Because that's all you have to lean on at the end of the day, bro. I mean, I plan on being successful for years to come, but it ain't gonna last forever. And, you know, when my day comes, when it's the end of the road and it's time for somebody else to be in my seat, in my chair, you know, it's my hope that whoever that person or those people are, people that knew I cared about them and believed in them, to help them get to this place.
He's Spike Lee.
Thank you. I haven't heard that. I mean, I've been on radios all over the nation. Thank you for that question. I'm a third generation Morehouse man. I was taught to speak your truth, and that there's very special about being a Morehouse man, the same way you feel about your school, the same way we feel all about our respective historic black colleges. That would have been my first choice anyway, and I'm proud to be a Morehouse man.
I'm talking about none other than Serena Williams.
That was definitely one of the better matches I've ever played. I've had it just like that. You know, I was really focused, just really, you know, excited.
That is the voice of Steph Curry.
Your progress from Davidson to now with Golden State.
Where I've come from in high school into a small D1 college at Davidson. And, it's a great story, and I'm just having fun, you know, living my dream and riding the ride.
The one and only Michael Strahan.
Always good to talk to you. Hopefully next time it won't be, what, 14 years you get to it. Man, you know what is good, and you're encouraging people to be better and do better, and that's what I love, man. So thank you. I appreciate you.
As we're joined by the one and only Jerry Rice. What do you remember most about those days at Mississippi Valley State?
What is going on at Mississippi Valley State University? Why are these guys putting up unbelievable numbers? And that brought awareness to the school. And after that, I got drafted to the San Francisco 49ers.
Dave Roberts, manager of the LA Dodgers, to be person of color and be the manager of the Dodgers, what does that mean to you?
I think the first thing that comes to me is responsibility. With recency and kind of the social, the racial issues that we're having that have really come to light, which is, I believe, are good things. I think that it's a responsibility for me to be the first manager of color for the Dodgers. There's not many of us in baseball to do things the right way, to hopefully give other people of color opportunity. Hopefully it just paves the way. So I think that for me, I definitely look at it as responsibility, but something I'm willing to undertake.
Snoop Dogg is on the mic. Pay attention.
Oh, man, thank you for having me play in a real way. I mean, I'm so honored. Snoop, your football league has done so many wonders. We got over 200 kids that have graduated from high school. We have over 50 kids that have grown at Division I.
NBA All-Star Chris Paul.
That was great to bring it back to Winston-Salem State University, Black College. Something that my city had never seen before, may never see again, and just having a up close and personal feeling with LeBron James, Kevin Durant, Melo. It was exciting. I'm grateful for those guys coming out.
Kyrie Irving.
Playing at Duke for Coach K. What was that like and how that prepared you for the league now?
Playing 11 games, you know, a lot of people think that's not a big package for you to become a better player, but for me it was. Playing for Coach K, he gave me the keys to the car and I was driving it in the first 8 games. And, you know, being a part of something special like that and having a brotherhood built at an institution such as that one is an experience that you never forget.
Ice Cube has been our guest.
Hey man, thanks for letting me talk a little music, movies, and sports. Hey, my favorite three topics.
Hey, y'all. It is the EST of WWE, the strongest, the fastest, the roughest, the toughest, the quickest, the greatest, the best on Box to Row.
From the Press Box to Press Row is the sports talk show that is the voice and the talk of HBCU sports, with a flair for pro sports talk and entertainment. Check the show out online at BoxToRow.com.
That's From the Press Box to Press Row, real, relevant radio. Welcome back to Box to Row, talking with Howard Hedman's basketball coach, Kenny Blakeney, in his fifth season. Listen, Coach Blakeney, I mean, you grew up in Washington, and this is the thing. Like, it's one thing to play for, you played for Morgan, I mean, a couple of guys have, but you played for Morgan Wooten at DeMatha. Then you also played for Coach K at Duke. Like, that doesn't, I mean, I guess, you know, a couple of Danny Ferry's, I guess, one also, right? But that doesn't happen. A lot of guys don't get to play with two legendary coaches on the high school and in the collegiate level. And you won two national championships at Duke. Speak to what both Coach Wooten, rest in peace to Coach Wooten, and Coach K have meant to you in your career.
No, thank you for asking. It's I when you talk about that, and I can know you did your homework by knowing Danny's the other older player that played at.
I'm a Washingtonian. You know, I'm a Washingtonian.
So it means a lot that you. I know that you've done your homework on that. You know, both of those guys, as you said, you know, when I graduated, and I know when Coach Wooten retired, he was the winningest high school coach in the history of high school basketball. A guy that had been selected into Naismith Basketball Hall of Fame. And at some point in time, I know every young man that had gone through his program had received a basketball scholarship. But in saying that, he's a Hall of Fame coach, but he's a Hall of Fame human as well when he was here on this earth with us. And, you know, the guidance, the mentorship, being a educator at DeMatha for so many years, he was all about the right things. And the growth, the maturity, and the teaching was first and foremost what he was about, especially with dealing with you know, young men that were at an age from 14 to 18. I couldn't have had a better experience playing for him and having him be a mentor to me when he was alive and, you know, still very close with his family. His son Brendan came to see us play a couple times because Rod Bolanos, who's on our staff, and Brendan and myself were all teammates at DeMatha at some point in time. And I probably have the only honor of saying that I played with both Wooten kids, with Brendan and Coach Joy Wooten, who's now the chair of the McDonald's All-American Committee and the high school coach at O'Connell. So I've been really fortunate enough to be touched by Coach Wooten, and his leadership and his teaching has always resonated with me as I've moved forward throughout this business. And then having a chance to play for Coach K, I mean, it's, you know, again, when he retired, the winningest college coach in the history of college basketball, and a Naismith Hall of Famer, our Olympic coach, you know, five-time national champion. Just so many accolades that you can list. And to say that I sat in his classroom for not 4 but 5 years as a redshirt at Duke is, you know, I had a chance to sit in the best two classrooms that you could possibly sit through as a basketball player and as a student athlete. I'm truly blessed and humbled to say that I've had that opportunity, and hopefully I'm doing the service that those guys did to me, that I have that responsibility of teaching our student athletes and working with them to be a mentor and I guess a coach to them.
Very well said. You around this time last year, you and I were in Houston for the HBCU All-Star game. You were the coach for one of the teams. And, you know, you talked about getting to this point, and you soaked all of that up, because at the end of the day, it took you 24 years from the time you were an assistant coach to become the head coach at Howard. And I know you soaked all of that up in terms of everything that was going on in Houston and so forth. Speak to that. I think you said to me, if I remember correctly, you had your own company, apparel company, but you were at one of the universities in New York, and maybe at Columbia, paying you like $50,000 a year in New York City, right? You're surviving. You're trying to survive at that point.
Well, actually, I was working for free. When I took the job at Columbia, I took it as a volunteer. You know, my journey is so different and unique, and I'm so blessed that I had a different and unique journey. You know, being from DeMatha, being from Duke, a lot of people would assume that a lot has been given to me with that background and that pedigree. And I've earned every single thing. My first job, I was a restricted earnings coach where I made $3,000. You know, when you look at it from a financial point of view, you know, I was in the Atlantic 10 for 1 year, and I think I might have made $60,000 there. But all the jobs that I had as an assistant coach, I never made more than $42,000 or $45,000. So it was a grind, and it was a labor of love. And I always wanted to coach because I felt like I could help young men become better men. And that was the goal of being a coach. I wanted to be a person that could mentor, teach, guide, and be a big brother to the younger generation that was coming along. So when they moved on, you know, I say this to our guys, that they're more healthier when they leave than when they came. And that's so important to me. So last year in Houston, I was really touched by, you know, the honor that you gave me by being the coach of the year, the honor that the HBCU All-Stars gave me by being the coach of the year. It choked me up, and it was emotional because I didn't get into it for those reasons. And like you said, you know, 24 years from the time I guess I graduated college and or, you know, has been an assistant and gotten a head job. You know, it wasn't like, you know, I had to compete and beat out a lot of people for this job at Howard. I wasn't their first choice. And I know my AD doesn't love me saying that, but I told him if he hired me that I would be the best hire he ever had and ever made. And I hope I'm keeping my word with that.
No doubt about it. Last thought, being from the area, right? And, you know, Howard, I mean, look, I both my parents went to Howard. My father's is a Hall of Famer, you know, athletically just a challenge. Okay. I mean, look, the last tournament championship in men's basketball was 91, 92 before you won it last year. So what does it mean to be from Washington, to have known about that very last championship until last year, and to have this Howard program on the trajectory that it is as back-to-back MEAC tournament champions?
Yeah, it's surreal, to be honest. You know, so many student athletes when they're in high school grow up in the DMV, and they don't think that Howard is serious about athletics. And I was one of those student athletes in high school that didn't think Howard was serious about athletics. You know, you look at the history of the infrastructure here, and you look at, you know, some of the seasons and the records of the teams that were here previously before we were here. And, you know, there's not a lot of tradition and history in terms of winning. And, you know, I had a chance to kind of have a sneak peek being at Harvard University with Coach Tom Yamaker, that took over the job when he was hired, that, you know, Harvard hadn't gone to the big dance or won the Ivy League tournament in like probably 60 to 70 years, almost. And to see how he used the brand and the academic reputation of Harvard to build a basketball program was something that I emulated here at Howard. It was, you know, using the culture, the history, the tradition of Howard, talking about our alums and their accomplishments. It was one of those things, like, there's been so many things that have been done here on the campus of Howard. First Supreme Court Justice, first Black Supreme Court Justice, first Black VP, the first Black mayor of New York City, the first Black governor of Virginia, the first Black woman to vote in a major election. You can go down the list of accomplishments, but there never has been a substantial winning Division I basketball program here. I know A.B. Williamson did a phenomenal job when he was here at Howard, but to say that we can come in and kind of take that baton from where he left it and now move it along even more has been great, man. The reception here in D.C. has been phenomenal. We talk about, you know, with the five or six Division I schools that are here in the DMV, you have Georgetown, University of Maryland, George Mason, American University, George Washington, and ourselves. We're the winningest Division I program here in the DMV over the last 3 years. So three winning seasons in a row hasn't happened, I don't think, in the Division I era, or if it did, it's been since like 84, 85. Back-to-back, you know, tournament championships, that hasn't happened here in the Division I level. So we're doing exactly what kind of the Dream Factory's vision was when we set out. And it's so neat that, you know, the university, our alums, our student athletes, and the community here in the DMV are along with us in this journey that we have now.
You know, real quick, I did say last thought, but I had to say this from last year. How crazy is it to play in the tournament last year, lose the game, and then have the vice president of the United States in the locker room after the game? That's bananas.
Yeah, it's pretty neat, but that's what Howard University is about. You know, last year with our social justice project, Black Maternal Health, we did things with the vice president that, you know, we were at different rallies with her. We were at the White House with her at certain points in times. It was just really a neat experience. And that's why I wanted to be the head coach at Howard, because you can position your program, you can position your young men for opportunities here that stretch outside of the gates of Howard University. So you can touch the White House, you can touch Capitol Hill, you can touch Embassy Row. You know, there's so many different things that are here that you can use as educational tools to expose your young men to, that at the end of the day, position them for opportunities for the next 40 to 50 years after they're done playing basketball.
Again, Kenny Blakeney in his fifth season as the head men's basketball coach at Howard, the Bison back-to-back MEAC tournament champions, had another exciting season there in our nation's capital. Coach Blakeney, appreciate the time. We look forward to what the Bison are going to do in 2024-25.
Thank you, my friend. And always great to speak with you.
Great conversation with Kenny Blakeney, the head men's basketball coach at Howard. And he was emotional. We talked last year at the HBCU All-Star game, and you know, he did win the HBCU National Coach of the Year award, and he was emotional. And if you really understood what he was saying in his story, because to the point, people just think, oh, you played at Duke, you played at DeMathy, you're from Washington, you know, you were a good player, national championships, you should be able to get a head coaching job in college, and it doesn't work that way, and it took him a good little while, but he's finally there at Howard making some noise for the Bison. You can react to anything that Kenny Blakeney had to say. Hit me up via Twitter at BoxToRow, BoxToRow. You'll also be able to watch that conversation on the BoxToRow YouTube channel. Tamika Reed, the head women's basketball coach at Jackson State, joins us next as March Madness continues.
Hey there, fellow travelers. It's me, the Hotel Wiz. Before you go anywhere, call me day or night for hotel rates too low to publish. I'll save you up to 75% on over 500,000 hotels across the globe. You see, I've already done the research, so you don't have to spend time online trying to find the best deal. That's up to 75% off. Just call me, the Hotel Wiz. It's a free call, and you get instant access to rates too low to publish with no cancellation fees.
Make a free call now and save up to 75% off your hotel rooms the next time you're going somewhere for business or pleasure. Call the Hotel Wiz now and get instant access to rates too low to publish. 800-811-3471. 800-811-3471. 800-811-3471. Call the Hotel Wiz right now for rates too low to publish at 800-811-3471.
You're listening to From the Press Box to Press Row.
From the Press Box to Press Row.
Box to
Box
Row.
Box to Row.
Box to Row.
As we continue here on Box to Row, we're joined by a young lady, as a matter of fact, the head women's basketball coach at Jackson State. Listen to this. The Tigers have won 5 straight SWAC tournament championships and have won 3 of the last 4. Let me back up. The Tigers have won 5 straight regular seasons and have won 3 of the last 4 SWAC tournament championships, on their way to another appearance in the NCAA tournament. And look, the Tigers get a 14 seed again, but the prize is to have to play Connecticut, which I know Coach Reed is not going to run away from. Tamika Reed is our guest, the head women's basketball coach here on Box to Row. What's going on, Coach Reed? It's been a couple of years.
It has. Nothing much. Just excited to be where we are at this point. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. I'm glad to have you. So, like I mentioned, you get the 14 seed, which, you know, that's a solid seed. You've had some really nice wins, including a win over St. John's this year. But the prize is to play a perennial power. Now, they may, you know, UConn's not the power. It still is really good, but some other teams have come up. You've got, you know, South Carolina that's come up. You've got LSU that's come up. But I know you and your ladies aren't going to run from that challenge.
No, we're not. You know, we're going to meet this challenge head on like we do every game we play. We're going to make sure our players are prepared. You know, we know Geno is a legend. We know his program is, you know, a very prestigious program. But, you know, statistically, we match up in a lot of areas with them. They're one of the top teams in their conference defensively, and we're number one in our conference defensively. So, you know, we're just really excited about how we match up with them. Their depth is about as much as our depth on the, you know, from the bench. And so we just got to come out and just play basketball, you know, play solid and stick to the game plan.
You had a tough stretch earlier in the season, right before conference play, where you lost 4 straight games, they were tough games. You got some of the games you lost, you know, Kansas State. Teams are in the tournament right now, the last loss being to Texas. Then you won 21 straight games, ran through the SWAC, ran through the SWAC tournament. Was it tough that those four straight losses, even though the losses were to tough teams?
You know, I was extremely disappointed in our preseason performance. Having establishing the program that we have here at Jackson State, you know, in my sixth year, I was really expecting us to compete better in preseason. But I will tell you this, we had about seven new players that we were trying to get to join together and figure out that chemistry. And we struggled. You know, we brought top players in from other institutions. And, you know, those players were good players, but they had to fit a certain role here at Jackson State. And we struggled early on trying to get them to buy into the role I needed them to buy into in order for us to be successful. So we had a lot of those issues in preseason, which hindered us, our ability to play. We played a lot slower in preseason because I had a big that was 6'5", who didn't move up and down the floor as quickly as my current team now. But when we lost her due to an ACL injury, you know, we had to make some adjustments, and our team became a quicker team. So we learned from preseason. We figured it out. Players bought in. Because I told them, you know, if you guys don't have a better – if y'all don't buy into the role change, we won't win in conference. It's going to be the same thing as it is in preseason. So we had players that really sat down and bought into the new roles.
No doubt. You know, for you, how have you been able to sort of make that transition? You've obviously, 6 years in there at Jackson State to the point you were the one, you were the assistant. Now you're the head, especially in that first year. How much of it was the process in terms of transitioning from an assistant to a head coach, A, and then B, how have you grown in that process as the head women's basketball coach at Jackson State?
Well, as an assistant coach, you know, you can't be a great leader until you are an amazing follower. And so when I was an assistant coach, I did what my head coaches wanted me to do, whether I agreed or disagreed. I was a great follower. I listened. I learned, you know, and I said one day when I have my own program, you know, I took a little bit from everybody I've coached with or coached for. You know, I want to do this. I don't want to do that. I want to do this. I don't want to do that. You know, and once you become a head coach, it's just one seat over. You know, in terms of a bench, assistant coaches sit down, head coaches stand up most times. It's one seat over. But it's a big difference. It's a heavy hat to wear, you know. And so, you know, just going through trial and error, challenges, you know, just being a student of the game, I've learned a lot. You know, I've made mistakes. I make mistakes now. But one thing about it, I learn from those mistakes. I tell people when I win, I win. And when I lose, I win because I'm learning. You know, so that's been my motto. You know, just learn and make adjustments and get better. Every year, I want to be better. You know, winning a SWAC championship, winning a regular season championship does not make me complacent. It makes me hungrier because I know now we got a target on our back. The target is big. Every game we play is a championship game. You know, even in preseason, not having certain schools that want to play us, you know, in our region. I remember the year before last, we had to go all the way across to the West Coast to play games because nobody over here wanted to play. You know, so it's really tough. You have to make sure you're tough as a person to deal with that. You got to make sure your players is tough as well to be able to travel that far and still be competitive.
And you sort of had to do that this year, right? Like you had to go, you know, Kansas State is not a close trip. Texas isn't necessarily close. Like nobody wants to play the Jackson State women's basketball program.
They don't. And it's really tough, you know. A lot of times, you know, I wonder if I'm hurting more than helping, you know, because, and I say that, am I hurting the university more than helping? You know, I know we bring a lot of success here, but, you know, when you're talking about finances, traveling all across the country like that, and sometimes a lot of these schools don't necessarily pay the guaranteed money that you really need, you know, to really make it work. And by the time you take these trips, you spent half the money that they're going to pay you. You know, so it's really tough. But again, those are the type of problems I want to have. You know, I want to have those problems, because it says that people respect us and that they respect our program.
Tamika Reed, the head women's basketball coach at Jackson State, joining us here on the program for a couple of more moments. Coach Reed, does this team, this the makeup of this team right now, remind you of any of your previous teams?
This team is different. This team is so different. It's so special. I have been my most confident with this team down the stretch. You know, I've become really comfortable with them. I know what they're going to do. I know what they're capable of. This team is a very guard-oriented team. You know, in our league, guards are really important. And then my bigs. I have bigs who can play on the block but also play away from the basket. You know, have a really soft, sweet touch in a jump shot away from the basket. So this team is really, really special. This team is hungry. You know, we had to have a hungry team to come in this year to get back what was taken, you know, these trophies back here. You know, we had to go back and get it. Like, this belonged at Jackson State. You got to do it, you know. And this team was so special, so hungry, and got after it this year. So this is a unique team. This team, right now, we're 26-6. This is the best record in Jackson State history, you know? And so I'm just really proud of this team.
Yeah, and by the way, I might add, number 15 in the collegeinsider.com top 25 mid-major poll, which is really, really big. Looking at a couple of players, Bowler, Crump, they were all-conference players for you. Speak to these two young women in particular and how they lead and fit into this team.
You know, Bowler and Crump, they are like Batman and Robin. You know, and at certain times, they're interchangeable. One is Batman this day and one is Robin that day. They work really well together. I'm just really happy about the dynamics they both bring to the team. Bowler has challenged herself this year to become a better rebounder. And Maya Crump, you know, she defends the best players on the other teams. And she come out and she's, you know, one of the best players for us offensively. So she wears a heavy hat. You know, her role is heavy. Some nights she played 35-plus minutes, you know. And so those are two players who bring a really, really tough, great competitive dynamics to the team.
What do you have to do, and your team specifically have to do, to get the victory against UConn?
You know, we just have to play our basketball. You know, we have to keep our composure. I thought against LSU a couple of years ago when we were 14 seed and they were number 3. I thought we lost our composure somewhat in that game. I thought we allowed the officials to get in our heads. So we're going to have to, go into the UConn game, keep our composure, let the game be called how it was going to be called, and just play our game. I think we're going to have to be really good defensively. Not allow role players to have, you know, to have a great game against us. And we're going to have to contain their leader, you know, Paige. Paige does a great job in scoring the ball. She does a great job in creating for others to score the ball. So we're going to have to make sure that we contain. But we got to score. We got to score the ball. You know, UConn does a great job in holding their opponents to 56 points a game, like we do. We hold opponents to 54, 56 points a game as well. But we have to be able to score the ball against them.
Jackson State 26-6 on the season. Fifth straight regular season title in the SWAC, and 3 of the last 4 SWAC tournament championships, going to be up against Connecticut on Saturday in the first round of the NCAA Women's Tournament. Tamika Reed, the head women's basketball coach at Jackson State, joining us here on Box to Row. Coach Reed, again, great to catch up with you. Continued success to you and the Tigers.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me.
Thank you, Coach Reed. Look, my time is about up. I thank you for yours. I think we got a lot covered on today's program. Thank you to Tamika Reed, head women's basketball coach at Jackson State. Also, Kenny Blakeney, the head men's basketball coach at Howard, for joining us today here on the program. If you missed any of these conversations, log on to our website, BoxToRow.com. You can also watch on the Box to Row YouTube channel. Hope you're enjoying March Madness, the men's and women's tournaments. And also, don't forget, the HBCU All-America teams have been released. The Division I men's team was released on Monday. The Division II men's team was released last week, and the Division I women's team will be released on this coming Monday. Check them out at BoxToRow.com. And always remember to support those that support Yo Box to Row is produced by DW Communications.
I'm rolling down a lonely highway, asking God to please forgive me for messing up the blessing he gave to me. I see.